Hey, it's Arrow. Inside the LAProductions.us studio, we are unplugged and totally uncut with Karen Slaughter. Boy, the critics are talking about her book, The Silent Wife. Slaughter adds depth to the best-selling series with the investigations of old and current cases while also advancing the key personal relationships. It's another slam dunk. Here's what another person says. The emotionally sophisticated characters work through the brutality of their jobs in this dynamic psychological thriller and police procedural that will please readers of Slaughter's Grant County series. They're talking big time, man. Big time. Just like LAProductions.us. Big time. We know we're in big times, but we still need to celebrate. You can't just turn off a wedding or a group gathering that needs music. LA Productions is a professional mobile DJ service that helps you create and generate the greatest memories without having to deal with the stress of keeping everyone entertained during these days of constant change. From weddings to corporate celebrations and beyond, we're talking birthday parties, anniversaries, bat mitzvahs, bar mitzvahs. LA Productions works side by side with you as planners and performers, connecting you to a brand new generation of fun and dance. LAProductions.us. We are unplugged and totally uncut with Karen Slaughter.
Great. How are you?
Well, I should have driven down to Atlanta. We could have gone out there and did some mini golf and really had a conversation about your book.
Yeah, exactly. We got some nice courses here.
Oh, my God. What is it about the South that mini golf, it really is? I mean, it's because I'm up here in Charlotte, and I mean, it's still a crazy thing up here.
Yeah, I don't know. People just love it. It's a lot of fun. It's fast to do, good, clean entertainment.
When you were on Holy Moly, was it as cold as it looks? Because it looks like that you guys are seeing steam from your nose.
Yeah, it is freezing cold. I mean, it's 2 hours outside of Los Angeles, but it's so cold at night. It gets into the 40s. I was very glad I had that jacket and some gloves that I had brought.
So was there anything in that event that challenged you as a writer to say, you know what, I want to write the next book about something like this, and maybe there's like a murder mystery there around mini golf?
You know, I don't. Maybe that's something Harlan Coben could do with his Marlon Bolotar series, if there's such a thing as a sports agent for competitive mini golf. It was just crazy. I kind of lost my mind. I just can't explain why I was there, what I was doing, except I must have been some kind of midlife crisis.
Well, what was so interesting is that when I saw you on the TV, I was going, wait a second, I've talked with her before. I know exactly who she is. And so, you were like a national hero to me.
Well, thank you. I'm glad somebody enjoyed it.
Well, you've got a new book, The Silent Wife. Man, you know how to bring a story forward. Are you a part-time detective inside your dreams?
Well, you know, actually, that's a really hard job, and it's a really boring job most of the time. You're usually just sitting in your car taking pictures of cheating spouses. So I prefer my serial killers and murderers. Because cheating spouses are very depressing to me, so I don't think I would last very long doing that job.
When you put a story like this together, do you solve the crime first and then go back and tell the story that leads to the crime?
Well, I write the book in order. The first page you read is the first page I write.
Really?
But I never start the story until I know exactly who did it and I have some good idea of why. And I think it's very important to play fair with my readers. So I think figuring that part out before I start anything makes it possible for me to do all the twists and turns and all the stuff that people like where they're shocked and they think it's one person but it's the next. I can't do that unless I know how it's actually going to end.
How did you get into this storyline in The Silent Wife in the way that it deals with some abuse? I mean, and there's some bad things that take place in it. I mean, actually, when we're reading it, it's like it's really happening.
Well, I mean, thank you. That's exactly how I want people to feel when they're reading it. And I see my characters in a very realistic way. And I think one of the things that I do as a writer is I try to bring balance to a story because certainly there's some thrilling and chilling things going on. And I take an unflinching look at violence, especially violence against women. I think it's very important to show it for what it is. It's not sexy or titillating or anything like that. It's horrible. It's something that we should be, you know, we have a war on drugs that we've been fighting since Nixon, but we've never had a war on violence against women. And to me, that's the root of a lot of problems that we have in this country, is that we just have decided we're going to live with a certain amount of violence against women, and we're not going to do really anything to try to stop it. So I try to write about it, and I keep in mind that this is real stuff happening to real people, and I try to honor their story. And a lot of times I pull from things I read in the press, or if I talk to a police officer who tells me about a case, then I'll try to incorporate details from that. I never take one case and just put it into the book, because I'm conscious this is a real living person's story. So I want to be really careful that I'm not exploiting that. But I think making it realistic is how I bring attention to the subject matter.
Well, I love that you utilize your talents in that way, because you're bringing awareness out there. And to do that, I mean, that was like I talked with Elizabeth Smart's father, and he said the same thing. He says, I can never stop talking about this, even though it's a long time ago. He says, because it's got to stay on people's minds, because once it's off the front page, that's it.
Yeah, and it's really crazy, but you know, with her story specifically, she was a beautiful young white woman, so people were intrigued, and they really followed the story, and the fact that her photograph and her story got such national attention led to her eventual ability to escape from that. So we have to keep that in mind, that talking about it, having it out there, being aware of it, not stigmatizing it, not blaming the women who find themselves in these horrible situations, all of that, those are tools in our arsenal that we already have, where we can work to try to stop this from happening in the first place.
So who do you envision when you bring Trent into the story, into a new book? Because, I mean, he's so real.
Well, you know, these characters are so firmly in my head. I don't really think about particular actors or actresses, because I never want to have a moment where, you know, I say, this actor reminds me of Will, and suddenly I'm incorporating that actor's personality into the character. He's just really firmly in my head who he is. So I don't think, you know, he's this guy or that guy. But I do think for me that the main important part of his character is that he just has this really strong moral compass. He believes in what's right and what's wrong. And, you know, I have a lot of men and women who think he's a really sexy guy. And I say, well, you know, the thing that makes him sexy is that he listens to women. He trusts women. He respects women. And, you know, that goes back to the Canterbury Tales, the wife of, the Knight's Tale, right? I mean, he's tasked with finding out what makes his wife happy, and what makes her happy is just to be listened to and respected. So that's a universal kind of story.
So then what happens to the excitement of being a writer when someone like Toni Collette steps up and says, yeah, I'll play that role? I mean, because now there's the image in front of everybody now.
Well, you know, she's an amazing actress, and she was in another thing that Netflix did called Unbelievable, which is based on a true story. I think ProPublica did the reporting on that, about a serial rapist, and no one believed the women until these other detectives, two female detectives, started working the case, and they were like, you know, hey, wait a minute, something's going on here. So Toni Collette has signed on to do an adaptation of my novel Pieces of Her, and they're supposed to start, they were, I think, 3 days away from principal photography when the shutdown happened. And they're trying to start back up, this time in Australia, so we'll see how that goes. Everybody needs to be safe, so once they figure that out, how to do it as safely as possible, then they'll start filming again.
The book we're talking about is The Silent Wife. Sarah Linton is really, a medical examiner that really is, I mean, I just love the way that she's able to bring things into the framework of the imagination. Is she a piece of you? Because don't you do the same thing?
Well, yeah, I try to, but she's a lot more intelligent than I am. She's very book smart. She's the best doctor the world has ever seen. I mean, she just has these really crazy cases, and you know, she very seldom loses a patient. So if you ever get sick, Sarah's the one you want on your side. The downside of that is if you're meeting Sarah Linton, you're probably having a really bad day.
The past meeting the present, you take readers to the same place at the same time. How was that as a writer to put that on paper? Was there a lot of careful thought going in there? Because continuity is everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, this starts off in the present day, but then we're quickly taken back to a case from 8 years ago. And I love cold case files. I love the idea that justice, no matter how late served, is eventually served. It's something we don't often see in real life, especially with sexual violence and violence against women, where for decades police haven't really taken those crimes as seriously as they should. So that's what I like is, you know, when I read a crime novel, I love when we get to the end and the bad guy is caught and punished. That's so refreshing to me to read because I know it's not something that happens a lot in real life.
I'm shocked that Investigation Discovery has not approached you to host some sort of show that deals with these very subjects where you can keep it out there in front of people.
You know, I have been, and I've done a few, but they don't tell you you got to fly somewhere and put makeup on. Once I figured that out, I thought, I'll just stay home and write my little books. But I do love reading about crime. I love watching those shows. They're so interesting.
So you're pretty much like me then? Your commute to work is about 12 feet?
Oh, if that.
Yeah.
Most of my exercise is going to the refrigerator these days, but I'm perfectly built for quarantine. I figured that out very early on.
So as that writer, I know that, you know, right now we're promoting the book, The Silent Wife. You're always working on the next project. Is there anything that you can talk about, or is it still mum's the word?
Well, it's a little mum's the word, but my next book is a standalone. I'm kind of trying to wrap my head around how the pandemic's going to play into it. Because the thing about crime writers is we write books very of the moment. And I think we've all figured out this is not going to magically go away. So I'm having to sort of visualize what our lives are going to look like this time next year. Are we going to have a spit test? Are we going to have better testing? Are we going to have some sort of way that we know I can't go out today or I've been exposed or, you know, so I'm trying to think about how that world will look. So I'm being a bit of a futurist here.
So if Trent could be in this book, or even if Sarah could be in this book, how would they handle the pandemic?
Well, you know, like a lot of frontline people, Will Trent would be right out there in it. You know, the police don't get to take time off because of this. They still have to be out there helping the public. I think Sarah would definitely go back into the emergency room and help where she could. So they'd probably not be seeing a lot of each other right now.
So what is it about Atlanta with its writers? There are so many brilliant writers in Atlanta, and I'm always connected to it because of Gone with the Wind being written there.
You know, I just think it's the tradition of storytelling that's a very Georgia-specific, you know, Flannery O'Connor was another great Southern writer. And I just think, you know, when I was little, I remember sitting in the back of my dad's car, and if he'd ask for directions, he'd always get country directions. You know, it was never go left on Main Street. It was go to that white house with the big dog
out front.
Be careful because he bit somebody last week. So there's always a story, and I think that storytelling is absolutely something I picked up on.
That's so funny because, you know, being here in the South, you're absolutely right about that, and it's usually over some sweet tea that's been hanging outside, you know, bathing in the sun all dang day, and they dump in like 10 gallons of sugar for just 1 gallon of tea.
Yeah, my grandmother's tea, you could crunch it with your teeth.
So what's the website where people can go to find out about all of your books, because people are in the mode of reading right now, and what a great place to go to.
Well, it's KarenSlaughter.com. It's Karen with an I, or if you want to see my cats, you can go on Facebook.
Now, we've talked about the murder mysteries and the crime stories and stuff like that. Karen Slaughter, is that a radio disc jockey writer name, or is that really you?
It's absolutely really me.
Boy.
I've had this last name my whole life.
Oh, my God. You were born into that name then. Holy cow. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to come back to the show anytime in the future. The door is always going to be open for you.
All right. My pleasure. Thank you.
You be brilliant today, okay?
Will do. You too.